Well, this being the second Sunday of Advent, the scripture reading was taken out of the Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter 1. You know, it's interesting about this because it commences with an abruptness unlike the other three Gospels. Now, we know Matthew and Luke start with the birth narratives and the genealogy chart of Jesus Christ, and John comes in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And so it's off good flow, but Mark is different than that. Now, some Bible scholars interpret this brisk beginning as not the original. And I'll tell you why. They think that somewhere along the Dark Ages, a portion was ripped off. Well, that could be true, but I never thought that concern about it, that the earliest section of the chapter was lost. And it doesn't concern me about abridged opening, because it seems to expedite matters and go straight to the point on the purpose of our Savior to the world. I learned a lesson the hard way about doubting whether or not this scripture was missing or whatever. One time when I was in from seminary, I went to my parents' home, and I was talking to my mother, and being clever at the time, I said, well, you know the ending to the Gospel of St. Mark isn't the actual ending. Well, boy, I never heard the end of that one, and I never tried it again. She almost threw her New American Standard Bible at me for saying such a thing, and I don't believe it, but I was just trying to discuss that, and my mother was not going to allow for any diversions from what it was in her Bible, so I have never argued that ever again. Mom taught me a good lesson on that. So anyway, getting back to that, today is the second Sunday of Advent, and the focus is upon John the Baptist, who announced the arrival of Jesus Christ. In all four Gospels, John the Baptist prepared the way for the ministry of Jesus Christ. When the crowds heard John, he always preached repentance. That reminds me of a nickname they gave me at seminary. My seminary apartment neighbors, we would, at night after 9 o'clock, we'd go out on the landing there in front of our doors, and we'd talk and discuss what happened through the day. Well, after 9 o'clock, you're in more casual attire, and I usually would wear my brown bathrobe. So they called me John the Baptist from that time on. I still own one to this day, though that original brown house coat has long since worn out. I've got a burgundy one and a green one and maybe an old tattered black robe. But anyway, so if you come to my house, anybody's welcome. But if you come unannounced, you'll see me not in my clerical robe, but in my bathrobe. So that's what I do to lounge around there. That's a secret I want to divulge with everybody this morning, whether you wanted to hear it or not. Repentance was a serious matter to John. It's also a churchy word. You don't hear that word spoken out on the streets very much. If you were to walk down the street and say, have you repented? You'd probably get a person would scratch the top of their head, because that word is not that common these days. Non-church people rarely use it in their vocabulary. Repentance simply means to turn away from sin. And sin is also a church word, and not much is heard about outside church circles, which I think probably that's the signs of society today, because people don't believe in sin anymore. A lot of people don't. But sin at its core is anything that diverts us away from obedience to God. To repent removes the barricade which separates us from God. Sin breaks down our connection with God. Repentance prepares us for a restored relationship. I was looking at some photographs the other day, and it showed Berlin when the days of the wall was up. Now most of the wall has been torn down, but you can still see traces of it in the asphalt and everything. Yes, that wall was torn down. It's no longer relevant to people's lives. And there's a restored city called Berlin, not East Berlin or West Berlin. It's united again. So this is what happens, like I said, when we sin, we build a wall up between God and us. So beware of that wall. Repentance is about changing our thoughts for the better. It's no accident that John the Baptist used an image of constructing a highway in the wilderness for the visits of royalty and the idea of calling individuals to repentance. You know, Advent says that all things will be corrected and the rough ways made smoothly. Repentance straightens out the curves and makes it pleasing to God. That is a promise for now and is not just relegated for the distant future. In this life, God desires for us to walk in faithful obedience. Anything that causes us to close our eyes in fear, shame, and despair disrupts our communion with God. To travel in holy fellowship with God. And I like that term, to travel in holy fellowship with God. I coined that myself. I didn't read it in some book. With God means treading the path that He desires. To shut our eyes in a spiritual sense and make bad choices will encourage us to stumble and fall. We must be watchful and careful. And may I share a story that happened to me this past week while I was in Fort Lauderdale. I was outside on a patio. I was sitting in an Adirondack chair. And I was in this passage where, sometimes we might stumble and fall and everything. Well, that Adirondack chair, I didn't know, was broken. And as I was sitting there working on it, the chair collapsed with me in it. And I was lying sprawled out on the ground. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope nothing's broken. But I got up okay. So when you least expect it, sometimes life can throw you maybe a boomerang. So don't feel bad about it. Just allow God to take care of it. Just remember that. Just remember that always. And God will take care of it. And it's also a thinking about the promise of God is for now. All the promises that God wants us to have are for now and not just relegated to a distant future. And so we have that in our lives, and we can do that. Anything that causes us to close our eyes, as I said, in fear, is something that we need to take to God. And we will come up against figurative concrete walls that block our trail entirely. A few years ago in a sermon, and I think I shared this fellow with you all, there was a Senator Marshall. He was related to the second Supreme Court Justice John Marshall of Virginia. But he had moved to Kentucky, and this Senator Marshall served in Kentucky from 1795 to 1801. He was a member of the old Federalist Party of George Washington and John Adams, and that party was not too popular in Kentucky. Marshall was an aristocrat, Kentuckian, and could be somewhat snobbish in his attitude toward the common people. He was known to be pompous with an agitation toward revival-style religion, and he himself was affiliated with the Gentile Episcopal Church. Once when Marshall had voted for something controversial in Congress, many Kentuckians turned antagonistically against him. When Marshall finally returned home to Kentucky, guess what? He had to face the music. And when he got out of the stagecoach, this irate group was waving pitchforks and literally threatening him. And they picked him up en masse and carrying him to a bridge to throw him into a river. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get that passionate about politics. I don't care what it is. It's never put jam on my toast or anything like that. But these people took their politics seriously. And, you know, all of a sudden, Marshall had an epiphany. And he appealed to their emotional revival sentiment and yelled, "Hold on, you Baptist. Always provide a person the opportunity to give their testimony prior to being baptized." And he says, "I want to share my new repentant spirit. Hallelujah." And all of a sudden, upon hearing that testimony of his, the crowd was silent. Here was a high church Episcopalian yelling, "Hallelujah." That's almost worse than a Presbyterian minister shooting dice in the pulpit. And you know what? They started laughing. They had a fit of laughter. And they disbanded immediately. And guess what? Old Humphrey escaped from them. He went hiding in another building. They never came after him again. But by what he said, did something and triggered that crowd to change their tone about him. Now, whether or not they believed he was sincere, that's another matter. But the reason for this story is to demonstrate how, when left up to our own passions, circumstances can get out of control. It may take cleverness to avert the course of events. Well, in Marshall's case, it was his quick wit got him out of the river before he got dunked. But for us, it must be God we turn to. It must be God. And you know, the older I'm getting, the more I say this, and I've been a preacher for years, but the more I have to rely upon God for everything in my life. The reason why, I'm not trying to become saint of the year, but I need God to help me out. I mean, we all make big mistakes. And I'm trying to avert as many of them as possible. And to do that, you need God's help in that. And the thing about it is, we never think about it until after the fact. Most of us don't, including yours truly. We have to take it to God. I mean, it doesn't have to be a colossal travesty. It can be something minor. It might be misplacing a pill box or something like that, or it may be a big case. You know, you don't know what can happen, but don't neglect sharing it with God. God can do things. You know, if God could part the Red Sea, and if God to allow the Egyptians walk across dry land, don't you think he can handle an ingrown toenail? I think so. So we have to rely upon God. You know, God is love and forgives us when we turn away from him. God desires we return to his fold, and that is where repentance comes into full force. Repentance is more than feeling sorry. Godly sorrow is directed toward God, not ourselves. Throughout our lives, we will take wrong turns. Each of us have done it, forks in the road, and we inevitably take the wrong fork. But God can remedy that. Yes, some things we do make wrong decisions on, but even if we do make the wrong decisions, God can correct it and even veer us into the right path. We may do things that could cause untold problems, which have life-changing results. Our actions may not include the gross sins, but we are all susceptible to speaking unloving words and behaving unkindly toward others. On occasions, there may not be an awareness of sin because of a false and smug attitude without realizing we are offending God. Through prayer, maturity, and spiritual growth, we can recognize that what is discovered isn't all that good. I remember I was with a group in seminary one time, and we'd get together to discuss different things and discuss the Bible. And there was always the leader, and I remember one time he said, I think that we should have a prayer sharing time and what's going on in our lives and what kind of sins are plaguing us. And he turned to me and he said, Anthony, would you like to share with us? And I said, well, I'm sin free at this time. I'm going to go on. I was not about ready to, not that I'd done anything bad, but I've always felt uncomfortable sharing things like that because I think that is a personal thing. Now, if you have an issue and you want to share it with your minister, that's between the two of us and God. That won't go any further. But I think in an open group like that, it has to be between you and God only. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that is an important facet of your relationship to God. You take it to God first, and if you desire to share it with others, you may do so. You may regret it because it may get on the gossip trail, and who knows where it'll end up. But remember this, God wants us to be in confidence with Him. Repentance opens our hearts to God's love of clearing away all those negative barricades. You know, there's an old Lutheran prayer which says, Blessed Jesus, have I truly a share in thy redemption? Are my sins forgiven? Am I guided by thy Spirit? Thine I am. Wash me again and again. Strengthen me. So Advent is a time of preparation for something bigger and better. It is never too late to admit to God that our lives fall short of His love and glory. Make it straight as John the Baptist desired, and you will not regret it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes we get too cocky, or some people say big for our britches. Let us never do that towards you. Let us know through humility that we can come to you and express our concerns, our shortcomings, even our sins to you. Help us to realize, Lord, you are not the ogre some people make you out to be. You are truly a loving God. And we pray, O Lord, that we may be in obedience to you because we want a gentle and peaceful life. And unless we get things straightened out with you, it won't happen. Help us every day, O Lord, to do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.